Welcome to our 2024 Christmas program. I'm glad that you are here and looking forward, I trust, to a blessing tonight as we take time to consider things. And I encourage you to listen. It's a blessed message that we have both in song and in the drama portion. It is a reader's theater format tonight. That's why the podiums are here. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you, which that helps me remind you, if you have an electronic device, please turn it off or put it on silent. She was a nice prompt for me. That was cued and planned so that I would remember. But do note that so that it's not a distraction. But appreciate again you coming here. And we will have life refreshments afterwards, so please stay around and fellowship in the fellowship hall. And we'll have a good time tonight in the Lord as we come together. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you for this time of year as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending him to this earth to robe himself in human flesh that he might die on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for our sins. Thank you for bringing that message through the ages so that we in our century can hear that beloved message, that good news that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I pray, Father, that you would bless our choir, our drama people tonight as we bring forth this message, may it be one to bring honor and glory to you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. a congregational hymn for us tonight. O Come All Ye Faithful. If you'll find it, I believe it's hymn 201. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Oh. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Thank you.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Messiah by George Frederick Handel is probably the best-loved choral work based on the Word of God. One selection invites us to come unto Him, and He will give you rest. Most folks love the music of the Messiah, and Dr. Will Phillips was no exception. One of his patients had given him a tape of the Messiah, and it got played over his sound system at least once a day, accompanied by Dr. Will's out-of-tune humming. But as Dr. Will walked into the waiting room of his office on this particular Monday morning, he was carrying a very heavy burden, and certainly didn't feel like humming anything. Suddenly, his heart seemed to stop beating, because seated on one of the sofas in his office was Mary Schneider, 82 years old, and without a doubt the godliest person Dr. Will had ever known. A smile crept across his face as he watched Mary reenact a scene he had observed many times before. Her open Bible was in her lap, and she was gently squeezing the hand of a troubled young mother who just happened to be sitting beside her. With a captivating sparkle in her eye, Mary had just asked the question, Do you believe in Christmas? Since it was the middle of the summer, this question might have seemed a little out of place. But Mary had asked hundreds of people this same question, and somehow, it just seemed quite natural coming from her. She had found it to be the perfect icebreaker in talking to people about her Lord. Suddenly, the knot in Dr. Will's stomach jerked his thoughts back to the lab report he had received on Friday. He had faced this unpleasant task many times before, but none had grieved him like the encounter that awaited him this morning. After taking as long as he could with his first three patients, Dr. Will finally ran out of excuses to procrastinate any longer.
Bev, put on the Messiah tape that Mary gave us, please, and send her in.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but Mary and the Brewster woman are praying at this moment. I believe our waiting room is about to become a delivery room again. Another new birth is taking place.
I might have guessed. That Mary Schneider is one remarkable woman. When it comes to winning others to the Lord, she puts us all to shame.
About now, I guess, she's telling Mrs. Brewster about the heavenly choir of 10,000 voices and the one that's getting warmed up to welcome a new member into the kingdom.
You've got an awfully good memory, Bev.
It's only been a year, Doctor, and it happened in this very room.
Let's see. Weren't you taking her pulse?
Well, I was trying to take her pulse, but then she got this cute little grin on her face and said, "Do you believe in Christmas?"
I must admit, I was just a little bit startled when I walked in and found you two down on your knees praying.
A little startled? I'm surprised you didn't bruise your chin when it hit the floor. You should have seen the look on your face when Mary jumped up and shouted, "Listen, Will, the angels are singing again."
Oh, my sides, it's so grand to see you again, Beverly, dear.
It's good to see you too, Mary. How have you been?
Wonderful, just wonderful, dear.
Is Mrs. Brewster in the family?
Oh, my, yes. She just discovered the real meaning of Christmas. In fact, I do believe I can hear 10,000 angels singing the Hallelujah Chorus right now. Can't you hear him, Beverly, dear?
I think you're hearing the tape you gave us to play over the sound system.
Oh, land sakes, child. I know what's playing on the sound system. But can't you hear the angels singing along?
Well, probably not quite as well as you can.
Mercy, you need to get a more sanctified imagination like me. Now, run out in the waiting room and tell
Mrs. Brewster.
Yes, that's the one. Tell her that you're a Christian too. And, oh, my sides, I completely forgot. Here, give her one of these little booklets.
10,000 Hallelujahs, written by Merry Christmas. Who is Merry Christmas?
Land sakes, child. That's my new handle.
Handle?
You know my pen name. Any author worth his salt has to have a pen name, especially when he's just starting out.
Merry Christmas. Well, it sure seems to fit.
It's got real possibilities, doesn't it?
Doctor, let me introduce you to a budding young author. Merry Christmas.
Well, take a gander at my new pamphlet. They printed it for me at the copy place across the street last month, and I've given away so many, I'm almost ready for the second printing.
10,000 Hallelujahs. Mary, I wish I had half your energy.
Now, get a move on, Bev, and tell
Mrs. Brewster.
Yes, that's it. Tell her to read this pamphlet, and I'll call her tonight. Oh, and give her this tape of the Messiah. She needs to start practicing the Hallelujah chorus.
I'll take care of it right now, Mary.
Mary, I need to talk to you.
Well, you look troubled. Didn't Jesus tell us to be anxious for nothing?
Mary, listen for just a moment.
I'm afraid you're spending too much time working and not enough time praying.
Please, Mary, I need to tell you
now,
something.
Now, you need to get a day alone with the Lord so you can control your practice instead of it controlling you.
Mary, just which one of us is the doctor here?
Oh, my. Well, I'm sorry.
Forgive me, Mary. I didn't mean to be unkind, but I do have some bad news I need to talk to you about.
Go ahead, Will. I understand.
I got your lab report back last Friday, and the results are, well, they're much worse than I'd even imagined. You complain so little about pain and seem so happy all the time. I never expected to see things so far advanced.
Oh, bless your heart, son. You aren't fretting about me, are you? Why, mercy. Here I am fixing to rush into the arms of my Jesus and see my dear husband again. And, oh, Will, think of it. I'm going to have me a voice. I mean, one of them way up in the sky soprano-type voices. And for the first 1,000 years, I'm going to sing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. I'm going to sing it over and over again. Dear William, I'm going home at last. And here you are afraid to give me my flight schedule. Shame on you, son. Now, tell me, how long do I have to wait?
I'd say about 6 months, Mary. Yes, about 6 months.
That's not bad news, Will. That's good news. Mighty good news.
Good news.
Well, if I'm going home in just 6 months, I need to get on the stick. I've got a lot to do.
Mary, I think it'd be best if you just try to take it easy for a change.
Are you kidding, son? Let's see. First of all, I'd like an appointment to see you at least twice a week. Yes, at least twice a week.
Mary, I'm the doctor, remember? Now, let's see. I'd like to see you about twice a week. How did you know that?
I didn't, but I thought it would be good to have at least that many days in your waiting room to fish for souls.
Mary, I do need to tell you that you're probably going to experience a good bit of pain.
A pain?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Oh, Will, I have a good bit of pain already.
I thought maybe you did.
But I'm sure it's nothing compared to the pain my Jesus suffered for me. And it's caused me to trust him even more.
I'll be praying for you, Mary.
Will, you're a precious friend. Thank you for making this such a special day. I just can't wait to join that choir up there and sing hallelujah.
God bless you, Mary.
Now, just remember, the Lord says that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
The following week, Mary came to the doctor's office for her two checkups as expected. But she came about an hour early so she could be sure to talk to somebody about her favorite topic, Christmas. By the second week, Bev noticed that Mary was appearing every morning, whether she had an appointment or not. And Mary would bring her big black purse stuffed with New Testaments, tapes of the Messiah, an apple and a sandwich. And she'd just spend the day. So on through Thanksgiving, Mary spent her days in Dr. Will's waiting room talking to everyone about Christmas. and scarcely a day went by that someone didn't discover the real meaning of Christmas. The Monday after Thanksgiving, Bev noticed that Mary wasn't at her usual post in the middle of the sofa on the west wall. Bev tried to reach her at home several times but got no answer. Finally, about 2:30 that afternoon...
Hello? Dr. Will Phillips' office? I'm sorry, but he's with a patient right now. Could I have him return your call? Merry Christmas to you, too. What? You're calling regarding a patient named Merry Christmas? Is she all right? I see. Yes, of course. Just a minute. Dr. Phillips, please pick up line 2. Dr. Phillips, line 2, please.
I've got it, Bev.
Well, are you there?
Mary, we've been trying to get in touch with you all morning. What's happened to you?
Now, just take it easy, Will. There's nothing to get all riled up about. I'm at the hospital doing fine. It's just this old body of mine sent me word today that it was time to take my Christmas story down here for a while. I didn't want to bother you, so I took a cab. But this lady here at the desk won't give me a room without authorization from a certified MD. You are certified, aren't you, Will?
Just let me talk to the lady at the desk for a minute, Mary.
If it's not too much trouble, Will, ask this nice lady to give me a room with 2 beds.
I'm sure that can be arranged. Now, would you please just let
me... And just tell her to keep sending me roommates who need to hear the Christmas story.
If you'll let me talk to the lady, I'd be glad to do...
Oh, and I almost forgot. Tell Bev that I'm assigning that couch on the west wall to her. Tell her God's moving me on to a new territory.
Now, don't worry about a thing, Mary. I'll take care of everything. How are you feeling?
Well, I think I'm getting closer to home. Thank the Lord, I'm getting closer to home.
Thank you.
The eighth floor of Memorial Hospital had never experienced anything quite like Merry Christmas. Handel's Messiah played constantly on her little tape player. Nearly every week, a new patient would be moved into room 824. And nearly always, they left rejoicing, having experienced the true meaning of Christmas. When things would get a little slow on the floor, the nurses would all gravitate towards Mary's room. That is, all of them but one. Phyllis Cross, the head nurse on the evening shift. She kept her distance from the woman she called the religious nut in 824. Phyllis had been head nurse in a military unit for 11 years, head nurse in the emergency room for 16 years, and had been through three marriages. She never smiled or cried, and the icy look in her eyes seemed to broadcast that she was proud of it. It was Monday night in mid-December when Mary took a turn for the worse. An infection set in, and her temperature skyrocketed. Round-the-clock care was ordered, and being two nurses short, Phyllis Cross herself had to help out in room 824. Mary was in great pain and nearly delirious from the fever.
It's time for your pills, ma'am.
Oh, I'm glad you've come, Phyllis. I've been praying for you.
Praying for me? You don't even know me.
But I feel like I know you. The other nurses have told me all about you. They all look up to you.
They do they? Well, in case they didn't tell you, there's no use in praying for me. God gave up on me a long time ago.
Oh, no, he hasn't, Phyllis. In fact, I've asked the Lord not to take me home until you're in the fold.
I hate to break the news to you, kid, but you're in for one big disappointment. What's that music?
That's the Hallelujah Chorus. I'm going to sing that song when you get saved.
That'll be the day.
Oh, I love you, Phyllis. And God loves you even more.
Is that so? Well, he's never done a thing for me.
He's ready to do something for you right now, if you'll let him. Something that will change your life forever.
I've got to go check on the patient next door. I'll send in another nurse to check you in about 20 minutes.
Phyllis, I'm praying for you.
Stop that nonsense. Now try to get some sleep. I've got to run.
The whole situation was more than Phyllis could bear. Here was a dying old woman praying for her. Phyllis had expected Mary to toss out her Christmas question, but it never came. It was as if Mary sensed the time wasn't right. As Christmas drew closer, it was obvious that something miraculous was happening on the eighth floor. As the beautiful melodies of Handel's Messiah drifted up and down the halls, a steady stream of visitors flowed in and out of Mary's room. Many of them reminisced about that day on the couch in Dr. Will's waiting room. Since Mary's arrival in the hospital, most of the staff on the eighth floor had started greeting each other by saying, "Merry Christmas." And it wasn't just because of the season. Four of Phyllis's nurses were totally different people as a result of spending time with this unusual woman they referred to as their spiritual mother. And Phyllis had watched patient after patient, assigned to the second bed in Mary's room, leave the hospital joyfully transformed. There was something contagious about the joy of this frail little woman in 824. It was the joy of Christmas.
Let every heart prepare him room,
Phyllis went into work as usual on the evening of December 24th. All through the night, she tried to not think about Mary, but by the time her shift ended, she could contain herself no longer. She found herself strangely drawn to room 824. As she walked in, streams of sunlight flooded Mary's room, heightening the beauty of all the flowers and plants. But the brightest light was in Mary's eyes. Oh, the pain was still there, but the fragrance of victory made the pain seem almost insignificant.
Good morning, Phyllis. I was expecting you.
You were?
Yes. I've been up all night praying you'd come.
Up all night? That nurse should have given you a sleeping pill. You need your rest.
Now, don't fret about me, dear. I'm going to have plenty of time to rest. Now, what brings you to visit a wrinkled-up little prune like me?
I was wondering, how come you've never asked me about Christmas?
Because, dear, I was waiting for you to ask me, and now you have. Phyllis, do you believe in Christmas?
I guess I don't. At least not the way you do. I've always celebrated Christmas, always given the kids presents and taken them to the mall to see Santa Claus.
Oh, but Phyllis, you've celebrated Christmas, but have you ever experienced Christmas?
What do you mean?
Here, read this. Start here with verse 9.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels.
Now, that's talking about the first Christmas, when Jesus was born in a manger. Keep reading.
Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
And that's talking about his death on the cross. Keep going, Phyllis.
Crowned with glory and honor.
Oh, Phyllis, that's talking about how he won the victory over death and went back to heaven, where he's seated at the right hand of his Father. Oh, I can't wait till I see him, Phyllis. I'm going to sing the Hallelujah chorus for him. Read on, child, read on. This is the best part.
That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Don't you see, Phyllis? Jesus tasted death for you. He died for you. Right now, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Can't you hear him? He wants your heart to become his manger.
You mean he wants to live inside of me?
Oh, yes, Phyllis. That's it exactly. Lord, I've got a young lady here who's heard you knocking on the door of her heart. Thank you for bringing her to see me this morning. Now, help her, Lord. Go ahead, Phyllis. Just talk to him.
Lord, I'm kind of new at this, so I don't know all the right things to say. But, Lord, I need you. I've made such a mess of my life. Please forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for sinning over and over again. I'm sorry. Oh, please, Lord, save me.
Amen. Phyllis, do you know what day this is?
It's Christmas.
It sure is, dear. Merry Christmas, Phyllis. Merry Christmas.
For the first time in years, tears rolled down Phyllis's cheeks. After Phyllis gently hugged the frail little woman, who was now her spiritual mother, she joyfully ran from room 824, a new person. For the first time in her life, she could really celebrate Christmas. Late that evening, when Phyllis returned for her night shift, the rest of the staff could not believe their eyes. She practically skipped out of the elevator carrying two large poinsettias and greeted everyone with an exuberant, "Merry Christmas." Her smile was so big that the other nurses hardly recognized her. Phyllis headed straight for room 824. As she walked in, she heard the Messiah playing softly on Mary's tape player. Seeing that Mary was asleep, she quietly put the poinsettias on the tray beside her bed. As usual, there was an open Bible in Mary's lap and a beautiful smile on her face. Phyllis reached down and took Mary's hand and squeezed it. Only then did she realize that Mary was home at last, home for Christmas. Phyllis looked down and started to speak into Mary's lifeless body, but at that moment, the Hallelujah chorus began to play on Mary's little tape player. Suddenly, Phyllis looked straight up and called out at the top of her voice,
"Sing, Mary, sing Hallelujah."
Thank you.
You may be seated. Do you know the real meaning of Christmas? The Lady Mary Snyder in our drama did. She had at some point in her life come face to face with Jesus Christ. Well, not physically, even though she was 82, she didn't live back in Christ's day. But she had been confronted with the truth of God's word that Jesus Christ came down from heaven's glories, robed himself in human flesh, was born in that manger in Bethlehem, lived a sinless, perfect life because we couldn't, died on the cross bearing our sins in his own body, being, again, our substitute that we could not do for ourselves because we cannot pay for our own sins in that debt that we owe. He rose again 3 days later, victorious over sin, death, and hell. Why would Jesus Christ do such a thing? I think one verse ably answers that question, a verse that many still know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, turning from our sin and turning to God for his redemption, believing, trusting in Christ's finished work, and gaining that new life in Christ, an eternal life, an everlasting life. Have you made that step? If not, and God is knocking at your heart's door tonight, let one of us show you how you too can know Christ. To have the same joy that Phyllis Cross did in our drama as she was confronted with her sinfulness and her need of trusting Christ, so that truly you can this Christmas have a Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we've had. We thank you for the presentation tonight, for the words that have been spoken, for your word that has gone forth, both in song and in the drama. We thank you for that great truth that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is our Redeemer. And we who know him, who have placed our faith and trust in him, Father, rejoice at this time of year. Yes, it is a joyous time, but for us it's a joyous time because this is remembering the birth of our Savior. And we thank you for sending him. We thank you for that great love that you have for all mankind. And I do pray tonight for that one that may be here that does not know you, that does not have that assurance of knowing that their sins have been forgiven and that they have eternal life waiting for them. May they draw one of us aside. May we have the joyful privilege of showing them how to know Christ, seeking your forgiveness, and Father, being wondrously born again, born from on high, given a new life in you. Bless the time of fellowship and refreshments that we are about to partake. We thank you for those that you have brought out. May our hearts be stirred to go forth, Father, heralding that good news as the shepherds did so long ago, letting others know that your Son and our Savior has been born. Keep us safe as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.